And Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on a beautiful Saturday morning, Whitney Saturday here at Saratoga. And again, another picture-perfect day, just like yesterday. If you're headed up here, you're going to have a gorgeous day with a lot of great stakes action. We will talk about some of that this morning. Towards the end of the show, though, our friend Michael Blown is in town from Old Friends, and I always like to bring Michael in, so he'll wrap things up for us a little bit later on. But prior to that, Ken McPeak, of course, Swiss Skydiver and the Alabama King Fury racing today as well. We'll talk about those with Ken in a few. But joining us here at the top of the show, By My Standards, entered in today's quality over quantity Whitney. Five horses, but you couldn't ask for a better field of five, and By My Standards is one of those. Trainer Brett Calhoun in. Good morning.
Morning.
And when you sat down, I said, hey, nice to have you on. You said, good to see you. Good to be seen. And you have horses all over. As I was on Equibase last night, Mountaineer, we'll talk in a moment about Mr. Weiler as well, but Ellis Park Colonial, Evangeline. You had some runners up here at Saratoga, and we've kind of gotten back to normal here at Saratoga. But from your perspective, being at so many tracks, what's it been like over the past 2 or 3 months as things have kind of moved back to normal?
It's been great to see the fans and the public again. You know, last year up here for the Whitney was really, really strange. You know, you're so used to the fans here at Saratoga, and to come up here and it be completely quiet and nobody here, so it's really good to see the fans back.
Yeah, a lot of smiles and just fun to have people back on track. And you know, I've said it to other trainers who have been in here. You're in a sport, and part of a sport is that the fans and the audience and with the excitement and electricity you generate from them. So on your side, it full stands over here has to be great.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously we understand it's a fan-based driven business, handicappers, and so it's really good to see them out again.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, let's talk a little bit about By My Standards. I am going to pull up last year's Whitney. We'll watch the replay. Improbable, the number two, will be the winner, but By My Standards, the number one, runs second last year. With a race like this, over the track, in the Whitney, I think you have to come in with some confidence that he likes the Saratoga racetrack. Talk about your takeaway from last year's Whitney.
Yeah, I think the Saratoga racetrack can sometimes be a little tricky. Sometimes they take to it, sometimes they don't. So it gives me a little confidence to come in here with a race under our belt. You know, last year, a little bit of a tough race in the situation where we had a horse that, a very good horse that won it, that acted up in the gates a little bit. And By My Standards and Tom's the Todd, I think, missed the break a little bit, stumbled, and probably got loose, and we just kind of followed him around there.
And as I say, a nice race last year to run second. You come back this year. Started the season with a nice win in the Oaklawn Mile. And then we're also going to take a replay and look at the Met Mile from June 5th for this year. Silver State also in this afternoon. The number three is going to be the winner. By My Standards, the number five runs second in the Met Mile. And as I was doing a little research last night, I was reading from a couple months back, you came out of the Oaklawn race. You were kind of pointed to either the Blame at Churchill or the Sexton down at Lone Star. This was a pretty good plan B to wind up running second in the Met Mile. What was the decision making?
You know, we had talked about this race from way, way back and had our eye on it. We had kind of talked about a different route, but the more we looked at this race, the more it looked like, we belonged there. I think one turn mile might be a little bit shorter than ideal for him, but we were chasing an elusive grade one, and that seemed to be the right spot to go.
So talk about how he came out of the Met Mile and how is he progressing into this race?
He came out of the Met Mile in great order. He's trained very well since. I actually think he's coming to this race even better than he did the Met Mile. Like we discussed, he's had a race over this track. Timing's good. He's coming in this race very well. You know, I call this this group the Fab Five. I mean, it's what a loaded group, which you always expect in the Whitney, a very, very well-respected race. So you don't ever expect any free lunches in that spot.
Looking at the form, you've been working down at Colonial?
We have. You know, we all had to move out of Churchill this summer, and so I had to find a place to stable him, and we split up the Kentucky group between Ellis and Colonial, and I just thought that was a good place to put him, a little bit closer, and it's worked out really, really well. It's a very horse-friendly place to train, and he's thrived there.
When did he get up here, and how was the trip?
He got here Wednesday morning about 5 o'clock. He trained here Thursday and Friday. Everything's, you know, gone pretty routine.
So what's your confidence level for this afternoon? And what do you, this race, I don't know. Normally I would ask a trainer, how do you see the race playing out? But I think we know how the race is going to play out with Nick's go.
I think everybody pretty much has figured that out. I don't know who's going to be laying second and third necessarily. I would say obviously Nick's go is going to be loose on the front end. If he runs the kind of race he ran in the Breeders' Cup, we're probably all running for second. Beyond that, it'll be interesting to see if Silver Stater, Swiss Skydiver, who shows up second and third there. I'm sure it's going to be off the break, how everybody breaks, and then we're all, the rest of us, be jockeying for position from there.
It's a five-horse field. Would you rather have five horses? You know, we had the four-horse stakes race earlier in the meet. Four is a little bit different. Five starts to get a little more normal. But in a short field, it seems like funny things can happen in a short field. Would you rather have seven or eight than five?
I don't know what it is about short fields, but it seems like there's always trouble in them. And I don't know why you'd think there'd be a lot less trouble, but for some reason in short fields, there's somebody always finds a lot of trouble.
One hole in a field of five, is that any?
You know what? I'd have preferred not to have been there, but at a mile and an eighth, there's speed that's going to go and separate. There's another group that's probably going to separate a little bit. So I really don't think it's a factor.
And the mile and an eighth is clearly right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I think the mile and eighth suits him very, very well.
I know it's one race at a time, but any plans down the road? Are you looking?
You know, we've had this race on our radar for so long. We really want to win a grade one with this horse, and we thought this would be a nice place to try. Beyond that, obviously, you know, you've got the Breeders' Cup in the back of your mind. You back up from there. You know, the Jockey Club. There's several good races out there, but, you know, we're going to continue to chase grade one. We think he belongs there. Hopefully he can get it done today. If not, hopefully by the end of the year.
So the possibility is coming back at this meet.
I would say it's a possibility.
Okay, very good. So we wish you a lot of luck this afternoon with By My Standards in the Whitney, but you had to have some other horses that I wanted to talk about as well, because our players may be interested in jumping into some of this action. West Virginia Derby today down at Mountaineer. $500,000 up for grabs. You have Mr. Wireless in the field, and I'm going to pull up from July 7th, the Indiana Derby. Mr. Wireless will be the number seven horse here. Comes out of the nice win at Indiana Grand. How is Mr. Wireless coming into today's race, the West Virginia Derby, and what are your expectations in that race?
I think he's a horse that's been on the improve. You know, I think he took a unfortunate beat in the Texas Derby, had a couple things didn't go right and got beat that day. It's a horse warrants it's running back against us today. And then this horse was able to put it all together and beat a good group of horses. There was a horse, Folsom, in there that I thought was
yes.
Very, very tough. And he had just come off a big win at Churchill, and this horse handled him pretty good this day. And I believe he's coming in this race very, very well.
He's lightly raced, you know, comes into today's race, five starts, three wins. And again, I know it's one race at a time, but after the West Virginia Derby, you get a win there. Do you start thinking Travers or Pennsylvania Derby, those kind of things?
You know, I call it the Mr. Money Route. I won several in a row with him, and I won the West Virginia Derby and then took him on to the Pennsylvania Derby and just got beat that day. So I think that would be a trail we might follow.
And as I say, he's lightly raced but has shown a lot of talent, obviously. Is this the kind of horse, you know, right when you get him in the barn, you got a pretty good youngster?
Not at all with him. It's funny because when he came to us, I've trained his older sister, who was third in Honorable Miss here, Ain't No Elmers, and this horse came in, and they're both kind of late developing family. This horse particularly was a big, fat, heavy, lazy horse. It took us forever to get into the races, and it took us forever to get him to show us anything. So we were not, he was not one of those that we were like really high on right away.
Yeah, very interesting. But we wish you again a lot of good luck in the West Virginia Derby. And then tomorrow at Ellis, you have a couple in some stakes races as well, and I thought we'd get maybe some opinions there also. The Kentucky Downs preview races tomorrow at Ellis, and in the Kentucky Ladies Sprint, you have Last Chance for Love. We are going to take a look at a replay of that one as well. This is going back to Lone Star on May 28th. Last Chance for Love, going to be the winner of the number four horse in here. She's lately raced. Comes in off of this win at Lone Star. That was the first try on the turf. I think turf sprinting is kind of a specialty, so she passed that test. What are your expectations tomorrow at Ellis for Last Chance for Love?
You know, I'm not sure that the grass sprinting's her favorite thing. Obviously, she's only done it once, and she won. You know, I probably would have preferred running her three quarters on the dirt. I couldn't get that race to fill. This race was out there. It was 5.5 instead of 5, which I think will be a little bit better. So we need to get a race in her, and it's probably a good place to see if she really can be a true grass sprinter. But she'll show up. She trains very, very well. You know, she works very fast in the mornings. It's very hard to get her slowed down in the mornings, and I would have preferred to run her as opposed to keep working her. So I think she'll make a good account of herself there today.
And again, tomorrow, that's the Kentucky Downs preview ladies sprint on the turf. And that was the kind of run when you're trying a horse on a surface for the first time to come up the rail like that and get it at the end. I always like that. That to me is a kind of a gutsy show some heart.
I thought Ray Gutierrez put a really good ride on him that day because it's such a fast course, a fast race, and she's a very fast horse. But he kind of gave her a little breather. I didn't think she was going to get there. He gave her a little breather in the turn and then came on again with her up the rail. So I like that move, and hopefully going extra 16th tomorrow help.
Also tomorrow, the Kentucky Downs preview ladies mile. You have Valentine's Day entered in there. We're going to pull up a little stakes race from Lone Star back on June 27th. She's going to run second in here behind Curlin's Journey. Curlin's Journey will be the number two. Valentine's Day will be the number three. You get the one post position in a pretty full field tomorrow, but what are your expectations for Valentine's Day?
I would say we're a little bit of a long shot in here. This filly is one, if you look at her PPs, she's gotten a little bit better all the time, just gradual improvement all the time, and that's kind of where we are right now. I think she's getting a little bit better. I think her last race, she might have been a little fresh. She stayed late a little bit closer to the pace than normal for her, and I think it took a little bit of punch out of her. Filly that beat her has been pretty accomplished, multiple stakes winner. I think my filly wants to settle back a little bit farther and make a run, and she found herself a little bit closer to the pace last time and got run down.
So, again, runners today, Saratoga, obviously, in the Whitney, the West Virginia Derby at Mountaineer, couple of stakes tomorrow at Ellis Park, and as I said, when I pulled up some notes on you last night, Colonial, Evangeline as well. What are the frequent flyer miles like during the summer?
We've been traveling a bunch lately. I mean, we have been, seemed like I've been on the road for the last 2 months, it seems like.
Yeah, but it has to be fun, as they say, now with the fans back and here at Saratoga and stepping into a race like this. And you've been in the game for a while. Always like to ask people, because we get folks who are new to the game to tune in during the summertime, and so I like to introduce them to folks, and I like to get a little background. How'd you get into the game? But I was more interested when I was looking up your bio information last night. Your dad, this is, you don't hear this too much, school teacher / horse trainer.
Well, he was a school teacher for 27 years. He was in the real estate business as well, and really, I think I ended up driving him into the horse business. I was just a young kid growing up, bugged my parents for a horse, and they were like, you know. And they were just horse racing fans. And we didn't have paramutuation in Texas at the time where I grew up. So he went to Arkansas and Louisiana. So kind of a strange deal. Instead of buying a pony, they decided to buy some racing horses. And that's how it all evolved. So he didn't really ever train really for a career or anything. It was kind of a side deal, enjoyment. And I think once they did it in full time, they figured out that's not what retirement life was about. So that was kind of it for them.
But you got into the game just as a fan, and the family wasn't really into it. You were, which is interesting in that there wasn't paramutual racing where you were. How did you then jump in?
Very strange, because the house I was born and raised in is about 10 minutes from Lone Star Park. But we never had horse racing in Texas at that time until much later in my life. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I loved horses at a young age. And then my parents would go to the races here and there, and I learned to read the racing form. For some reason, it just clicked, and I fell in love with the business and the horses. And I studied everything I'd get my hands on from a little kid. And I'm always told if I would have applied myself in school, I might could have really done something. But I really loved this from a youngster, and didn't grow up in it, but just kind of self-taught along the way and been doing it about 28 years now.
Very successfully as well. I was looking last night on the Equibase list for most wins and most money. Coincidentally, you're 28th on both lists, but that's pretty good to be top 30 on those. So very successful. And I also read that before you got into the training game, you were selling newspaper ads for a while. Maybe you can get in touch with the Clancy brothers, do a little side summer game.
Yeah, a little side job when I'm up here. You need to make a little extra money when you're up here. It's a little expensive.
Well, Brett, we wish you a lot of good luck this afternoon by my standards in the Whitney. Mr. Wireless in the West Virginia Derby as well. We appreciate you taking the time. I know it's always busy on a Saturday Stakes Day, but again, good luck.
Thanks a lot. It's good to be here.
Brett Calhoun with By My Standards in the Whitney today. In the green room, it is Kenny McPeak. He has Swiss Skydiver coming up in the Whitney. We'll have him join us right after this. Stay tuned.
Promotional consideration for Racing Across America provided by Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, featuring classic American recipes from the past with a modern presentation. Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, 38 High Rock Avenue, Saratoga.
To Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on Whitney Saturday. And, of course, one of the five in the Whitney will be Swiss Skydiver. So happy to be joined now by Ken McPeak. Ken, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. We'll talk a little Swiss Skydiver. But you mentioned when you sat down, the New York Yankees hat. The owner, big fan, so you gotta play the Yankees hat.
Yeah, Peter Callahan's got season tickets to the Yankees. And back in June, we had an evening where his family and my wife and daughter and I all went. We had a really good time.
Nice.
And, I ended up getting a hat out of the deal. And, I don't know if I'm a Yankees fan or not. I grew up a Reds fan. But the hat fits me really good. I don't know how well it looks.
It looks good. It looks good. Speaking of the owner, do I have the story right? The Swiss Skydiver, it's his daughter?
Granddaughter. Granddaughter went skydiving in Switzerland. And the Phillies by Daredevil. It seems appropriate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's pretty savvy when it comes to naming his horses.
I like that. Let's talk about her in the Whitney this afternoon. First, you know, before we get into some race replays and whatnot, with the quarantine situation, this is kind of a plan B. And talk a little bit about the quarantine. You weren't affected with horses being sick. They were in your barn, but you were affected with the quarantine.
It's a classic wrong place at the wrong time type of deal. And it's been kind of frustrating. I'm not going to deny it. I mean, look, I get the health of the horses, and the 21 days is what they decided. But, you know, other states, it's 7 days. And some other states, it's 14 days. And 21 days at Saratoga, being on the bench after the cost that goes into and the planning and everything that we put together to be here and participate. And then at the end of the 21 days, that we thought we were going to be able to race on August 1st, and then they threw a wrench in our wheel and said, no, we couldn't even enter till August 1st. And I take exception to that. I think that should have been clarified early on. And I think that there needs to be some adjustments to that so that doesn't happen to anybody again. We were out 26 full days till we could run a horse that was locked into that. And let's just say it's not been the best summer I've ever had up here, but it's not over yet either.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, now you're in and in the Whitney this afternoon. And again, it is a funny rule. Hopefully that gets
there is no rule. Fixed. That's the whole problem. there really needs to be a set protocol, and there needs to be a, you know, to be able to squeeze it down so that you can do the right thing by the horses and you know, make sure that everybody's okay. But it's a something I really, really want them to address and spend some time thinking about and writing up, and so that, you know, the state didn't know what Naira and Naira and the state, it seemed like the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing, and we got caught in the middle.
Yeah, maybe that is kind of the silver lining. It will be addressed in a more practical fashion. But let's get to the Whitney this afternoon and Silver Skydiver. I pulled up last year's Alabama because, boy, I said it last year, unfortunately the fans couldn't be here for some of the great performances last year, Tis the Law and the Travers, and I always mentioned Swiss Skydiver in the Alabama. She's going to be the number five horse here, and this was just a tour de force last year. Thankfully, this year, fans back on track to see some great performances, and maybe Swiss Skydiver repeats, but do you have some confidence going into the race this afternoon with this race over the track under her belt?
Yeah, there's no question. You know, I have no doubt she'll handle it. Irad Ortiz worked her the other day, and he said she handled the track easy. He said he's had some horses that didn't handle it. And I do think the track here matters. It gets a little deeper some years, and it takes a very good horse to win over it, obviously. And she's done it once, and let's fingers crossed she can do it twice.
You know, having heard some of your other interviews over the past week or so, and again, I alluded to it earlier, this is kind of a plan B given the quarantine situation.
Well, it's the only plan. You know, originally, I mean, she's had what I'd call a bumpy spring. You know, we had a little leg infection that, in hindsight, I wished I hadn't run her in the apple blossom. She had a little scratch on her leg that had gotten inflamed, and we were fighting on trying to get it down. It looked like it was no big deal. We had to treat her originally with some light antibiotics to you know, address it, and then we had to get more aggressive, and I think it caused her to run flat in the apple blossom. It wasn't her. She just didn't punch at all. And then since then, she went for the Ogden Phipps. She trained like a beast for that, and then she got shipping fever. And so, you know, for a filly that hasn't had any, you know, real bumps in her career, the last spring wasn't all that great. But up here she's done good, and we intended on going to the Shuvi, which I thought was going to be a perfect, you know, kick off her second half. And then, of course, she got caught in the middle of the quarantine. And so this is the only race she's eligible for. I mean, she's won so many races and such big races. There's not a race in the book unless I switched her to the turf, and we thought about that briefly, but this seems like a good spot, and it's a short field, and there's a million reasons to be here.
I like that. And talk about, you know, we talked about your owner a little bit earlier, but it's great to have an owner when you have a horse like this who's willing to take some shots like these.
You know, Peter's a sportsman, and he's a great guy to work for. He understands the risks and the rewards, and we're going into this, you know, cautiously optimistic. She needs to run. She's been ready to run for a while now. It isn't my first plan, but it is, I think, get a race under her belt. Even if she doesn't win today, either come back in the personal ensign or maybe wait for the spinster. We want to get her to the Breeders' Cup and give her a chance in that spot.
What are your expectations this afternoon? As I say, it's a salty field of five.
Well, I think she'll run big. I think that the fact that she handles the surface and her work here the other day was impressive. I think if a couple of horses, you can't tell the pace of this race is very wide open. I don't see us pressing the pace. I see us getting her more in a nice rhythm, like she likes to run, and then making her run. If a horse gets an easy lead, that's kind of out of our control. But it's going to be a very interesting race. It's hard on paper. It's hard to figure it out.
Yeah, you can point to any of them and make a case. It's a field of five, but it's quality over quantity. So we wish you a lot of good luck this afternoon. But looking at Swiss Skydivers PPs up at the top, what's notable, $35,000 at auction. You got to love that. And then I was looking, and one of my favorite horses up here, one of my favorite owners, we've had him on before, Harold Lerner, a couple of years ago, Eskimo Kisses, wins the stakes race. That one, I understand, didn't sell at auction. Then you guys made a kind of a private offer. Talk about buying horses at auction and winding up with a gorgeous purchase like this for $35,000, or coming in after the auction and getting an Eskimo Kisses.
Well, I guess the long story would be, when I was a kid, I learned how to read pedigree, and I can remember going to Keeneland and looking at horses and looking at the sire and the broodmare sire, and I really found that really interesting, and I've been a student of it since I was probably single digits. And then as a horse trainer, when I started training in my early 20s, I was a frustrated trainer because I would watch Wayne Lucas win races, and Woody Stevens was in his prime in the 80s, and then you were always hooking horns with some really good horses. Well, I figured I better learn how to get a better horse in the barn, and that's the only shot I had. And so I guess you could say I've trained my eye. I love doing it. I love investing people's money wisely at auction. It's an extreme game of failure. You're going to buy, your fair share of average or even bad horses or horses that don't make it to get to a Swiss Skydiver. Probably one of the purchases, and I've got a nice list of them that I'm really proud of. Curlin, Take Charge Lady was freaky good. Of course, Eskimo Kisses. That deal, that was an odd one because they scratched her. I found her at the auction, and they scratched her at the last minute, which I chased her back down. I'm like, the consigner was Gainesway. I said, why? Why'd you scratch her? I really liked her, and they didn't feel like her vet exams were good. I said, I can deal with her vet exams. I want to buy her anyway. And her race here, I just still get goosebumps. She was so powerful that day.
Yeah, as I say, rooting up always for Harold Lerner. Yeah, we've had him in here. And for folks who don't know, I had the great story of winning. He was just a horse racing fan and won the Jersey Lottery, I think, at the time, the biggest one. Became a horse owner as well and wins a grade one up here at Saratoga. So all of us horse owners can kind of jump in on that. One of the reasons we plugged in a little bit early today was because you're headed over, so I guess you're going to be a player over there. Talk about what you do when you go over there as far as looking at the catalog and walking around and trying to pick out who you may be interested in Monday and Tuesday night.
Yeah, good question. So every horse auction has its percentage of stakes winners. So if there are, in this case, there are 200 really nice horses over there, and I'll take the group and squeeze it down. And then I'll zero in on the ones that I think are value. And then let's say Keeneland September or Phasic Tipton, those sales are the same. Although the challenges at Keeneland September are extreme because late in the sale, there's as many as 400 a day. And we run through them, and I love doing it. And I'll get the list together. Once I've got the horses that I think are what I'd call stakes winners or potential stakes winners, I'll put that list together and I'll float it to people like Harold and Peter Callahan and Paul Fireman and a list of other ones. I was extremely active in the July market. I don't know how active I'll be up here at Saratoga. Anybody needs me to shortlist, I'm available. But I love this sale, although it's tough to buy a sale.
And when I have people in here who do buy over there, I'm always intrigued because a lot of them say, and I'll get your opinion, you look at the catalog, you look at the pedigree, and then they walk out of the stall and you look. But a lot of them also say, I also like the mental aspect. You like the horses who are at the front of their stall looking around. You get an idea of the mental aspect of the horse that plays into their racing career as well.
Well, there's a really there's a good book by Malcolm Gladwell that I think the analogy in it is it's about, they had experts looking at art, and one group had 7 seconds, and another group had 2 days. And I like to look at horses really quick. I don't need a lot of time, But the decision making and the group that had 7 seconds was correct more than the group that had 2 days to look at this piece of art. And so I thought that's appropriate, because you don't have a lot of time when you go to these sales. You're looking at horses really quickly, and you've got to get that instinct. You've got to say, okay, what's my feel for this horse? It goes up and back. I looked at a horse yesterday that was a big, beautiful horse, but every other step he swished his tail. And that's a little body language. Like, I don't know if I want to do this. Well, if they're going to do it walking, what are they going to do when they're running? And then you also look at their eyes and their general presence. You really are. You're feeling energy, and it's very instinctual. And having been around enough horses, I learn more every day and how they move through themselves. And I think that horses are like kind of like constellations. Like, we've all, how many of us have ever seen the Big Dipper in the sky and the Little Dipper, right? And so you've got points of reference. And when you're looking at the Little Dipper, or the Big Dipper is probably a better example, if you took one star and you just slid it, you wouldn't be able to recognize it. And so with horses, you're taking points of reference, like the point of the nose and the top of the pole, the withers, chest, bottom of the girth, and the hip is a really big deal, because of the way horses are cut through themselves in behind dictates leverage and how they pull through, and then you need balance, and then you've got the front view and the back view where they need alignment, and one little area can be out of place and it won't work.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I love doing it.
Yeah, very interesting.
I love doing it. I like stealing a horse at auction.
Well, I think you scored with the Swiss Skydiver, no question about it. Kenny, before we let you go, I just wanted to also get a couple of thoughts on King Fury. And I pulled up the Lexington, the seasonal debut. I kind of jumped on board his train with the Lexington and thought, boy, this is a three-year-old that's going to be worth watching as the season progresses. Subsequently ran second behind Masquerade in the Ohio Derby. But again, we'll watch the Lexington, where King Fury will be the number 9 horse. And as I say, this was the three-year-old debut. Looked great that day. Tries the turf this afternoon. I'm guessing this is maybe a Plan B situation as well.
This is the most expensive horse I've ever bought at auction for clients. And Paul Fireman, and Paul's unable to make it this weekend because he had a little setback. And Three Chimneys also owns this colt. But this is a really, really good colt.
Yeah.
And fantastic pedigree. And, yes, he was supposed to run in the Jim Dandy. And I think he very well could have won the Jim Dandy, as good as he's been doing. Another got caught in quarantine. I'm questioning, I mean, of course, you know, ask me at 6 o'clock tonight whether I made the right move, but this was pulled off by Catholic Boy a few years ago, and this horse is ready to run, and I wanted to get a run into him, and no, it's not ideal, but I do think he'll handle the grass. Hard to predict what, you know, some Europeans are coming in for this race. He didn't draw good either, but we're not going to force anything. Just let him get in rhythm and make a run, and then you'll see him back in the Travers if all goes as planned.
Very good. Like I say, he's, to me, a really interesting three-year-old. And with the long run down the front stretch, you know, the 12 may not be as bad as it looks at first glance. We'll see. But wish you good luck, obviously, with King Fury, certainly with Swiss Skydiver in the Whitney as well. And, again, we appreciate your time, because we know it's a busy stakes Saturday, and you're headed over to look at some horses over on the sales grounds as well. But we appreciate the visit. And in appreciation, via Capital OTB, here's a gift card to Pinnell's. Go over
awesome.
And grab a little dinner at Pinnell's on us. And
I love Pinnell's.
Yeah, no question about it. The old lasagna, thumbs up over
exactly,
at Pinnell's. We appreciate the visit. Ken, good luck.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to do it. Ken McPeak, again, Whitney this afternoon with Swiss Skydiver, King Fury in the Saratoga Derby, and much, much more. When we come back, Michael Blowen from Old Friends. Stay tuned.
Promotional consideration for Racing Across America provided by Pinnell's Restaurant, a 99-year tradition of serving the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track.
We're is the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
I'm Seth Merrill, and as Serious Horse Players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTB. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a Serious Horse Player needs to be successful.
Win more with Capital OTB.
Winning starts here.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. It is Whitney Saturday. We talked to a couple of the participants to start the show, but over in the paddock the other day, I ran into my friend Michael Blown from Old Friends, and I always like to have Michael over to talk a little bit about his great facility for retired thoroughbreds, because that has become a key issue in the industry over the past few years. You've been doing it for a while now and doing a great job. Michael, good morning.
Hey, nice to see you, Seth.
Happy to
just
happy
had Kenny McPeak here. We have one of his great horses.
I was
going to
say, you could talk a little crossover.
Yeah, yeah, there's all crossover now. We have Sarav at the farm, and Sarav, as most racing fans know, is the longest shot in the history of the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah, I was on one of those early racing forums that were kind of fun when the internet first got going. They died out, I think, because of Twitter, unfortunately, because they were kind of fun. But that weekend, somebody said, let's see how people handicap the other way. And so there was a thread on this forum that said, pick the horse you think will finish last in the Belmont Stakes. I picked Sarav.
Of course, everybody thought that. I think Kenny was as surprised as anybody is that Sarava won. So we have the three Belmont winners at Old Friends in Kentucky that nobody likes. Sarava, because War Emblem was going for the Triple Crown, so everybody showed up. As they say, paid $142.50 in the 150-plus-year history of the Belmont Stakes, the longest shot ever. And then we have Touch Gold, who ruined Silver Charm's Triple Crown. We have he and Silver Charm at the farm. And then finally, you know, we just had the Birdstone Stakes on Thursday, and we have Birdstone at the farm. And I never heard any horse get booed at the Belmont until I experienced that with poor Birdstone. He's still suffering from some serious psychological issues from that defeat, from that win, you know.
Even Mary Lou Whitney kind of apologized.
She did apologize. She did apologize, but Birdstone won, and then he came on and he won the Travers too. I mean, he's a nice horse, but he's so tiny. I think Nick Zito told me that when he won the Belmont, he only weighed 965
wow.
pounds. He's tiny.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about how long Old Friends has been in existence and your impetus for starting the facility.
Well, people think I got into this because I love the horses. However, I actually liked the gambling part of it first, but then I fell in love with the horses later when I was working for a $3,500 claiming trainer, Carlos Figueroa, the king of the fairs, at Suffolk Downs and at the fairs in Rockingham Park. And I just learned a lot, and I just thought that would improve my handicapping. But as usual, I was incorrect. And what happened is I fell in love with these horses. I just think they're marvelous animals. They're great friends. They're really smart. And I was going to ask Kenny when he was here, when he goes to the sale, all we have to do is figure out, we got to get an IQ test for him. Because if you can find the smart, Silver Charm's breeding's not very good. His confirmation's not very good. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
You just, but he's really smart, and precisionist was smart, and a lot of the horses we had here that are good, that's the distinguishing characteristic. But anyway, so when my wife, Diane, was a very, very, very good columnist at the Boston Globe, and I was a movie critic, and everybody loved her and didn't like me. And
the movie critic, that's
yeah, that's it. Yeah, they hate you all the time. It was good. Actually, it was really good preparation for what I do now. And nothing bothers me anymore, because if one person likes me, I'm very happy. So we had when the Globe offered a buyout, we both decided that I was really tired of watching the movies, and they weren't making movies for people my age anyway. Yeah. And she was really ready to retire from that too. So we both decided to stop, and we did. And then I told her one day, I asked her one day, I said, look, I have this idea, I'm going to try this. And I came down here first as the executive director for the operations director for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And I learned an awful lot, and it's a great organization. But there was never a place for the stallions, because nobody wanted to take stallions. They weren't going to retrain them, and they were supposed to be nasty and all this stuff. And nobody was opening their farm for visitors. And I've always been a tourist when it comes to these horses, whether it's visiting them at the Kentucky Horse Park. I first stepped foot in Kentucky because Bold Forbes and Forgo were at the horse park, and I just wanted to see them. And I never got too excited about the meeting movie stars, but man, what hair I had left stood up when I took a look at Forgo. I go, this is unbelievable.
My favorite, the horse that got me into the game, Forgo.
Is that
my
right?
Favorite. Yeah.
He was amazing. Yeah. So I got excited, and then I fell in love with horses. So I said to Diane, I said, so I want to try this thing in Kentucky. And she says, she thought about it for about 20 minutes, and then she turned to me with all sincerity and said, okay, I'll go with you, but only under one condition. I said, what's that? She goes, that when I leave you, you won't come looking for me. So she's still there, though. She's fabulous, and she's been as much a part of this as I have, and she's just unbelievable.
It's really a great organization and kind of groundbreaking. And as I said, you were ahead of the curve, because the industry is now really getting behind the second careers and whatnot, and old friends, the familiar names. Certainly now there's the offshoot right up here, old friends at Cabin Creek as well.
Joanne does a great job. She's having a big party tomorrow night at the golf club.
You guys can pull up the graphic on that and let people know about the party tomorrow night.
Yeah. That she's really done an amazing, she and her husband Mark and all their volunteers have just done a tremendous, tremendous job. Commentators up there, speaking of the Whitney, won it twice. Our other horse, other Whitney winner is Diversify. And he's at the farm in Kentucky, and he's beautiful and gorgeous. And I thank Jonathan Thomas for him. It's just been really, really good. We're on the upward curve with some of these horses. And now I talked to Michael Dubb and Michael Hoy, and a lot of the owners and trainers up here have been terrific. Grand Motion and West Point, and all these people have been so great about retiring their horses and thinking about us. I ran into Michael Dubb the other day when Discretionary Mark was running, and I told him I was putting in my dibs for when he's going to retire, and he says, "Well, we'll see how he does today," and you know, this, that, and the other, and then Discretionary Mark won. So you never know.
Got to wait a little longer.
Yeah,
for that
sometimes one. I root for him to win. Sometimes I root for him to lose.
oldfriendsequine.org is the website. You can learn more and see videos and whatnot, or donate, certainly. I was at your event down at the Washington Inn a couple of nights ago, and that was nice. That was a nice fundraising event. And again, the August 8th cocktail party will benefit old friends up at Cabin Creek. Zippy Chippy, of course. I was there for the last race at Northampton.
Is that right?
Lost number 100 up at Northampton. Really, it was about 5 days after, I think sooner than that. I think closing day here was Monday. I'm watching the grade one here on closing day, and 4 days later, I'm up at Northampton watching Zippy Chippy. Had a great time.
That's so great. Yeah. Bobby Arquero, Eddie Arquero's son, he's actually Edward Arquero Jr., but he goes by the name Bobby Arquero, is staying at Ants Washington, and he walked in this morning, and he had a Zippy Chippy hat. So Zippy's unbelievable.
Very good. I told you this the other day, and the guys can pull up a little footage because it's available on YouTube, and I highly recommend it. I told you the other day, I have a sister and a brother-in-law who are not racing fans. Nobody in my family really is. But I'm on the phone with them 2 months ago or so, and they said, boy, you know, they watched CBS Sunday this morning, and they said we were watching the CBS show this weekend, and there was a piece about retired racehorses, and it was great. It was a place in Kentucky, and there was a gentleman that was running, and it was, boy, you really got to watch this. And I said, was it old friends? And they said, yes. I said, was it Michael Bowen? They said, yes. I said, I'm friends with Michael. And immediately went and pulled it up, and here's some of the video. As I say, it is on YouTube. It's highly recommended. They did a great job. How did they reach out to you from CBS to put this piece together? Again, it ran a couple of months ago.
Yeah, well, I had a friend of mine who was head of PR at CBS for 20 years, and I kept trying to, I pitched him, no. And this is what I've learned in my job, and this is absolutely true. As soon as you put the tin cup away, things get better. You're not the quarterback, you're the receiver.
Yeah, yeah.
So just do what you're supposed to do. Do it the best you can, because if you take the other route, you know, you're trying to persuade people that what you're doing's significant in some way and that you want them to contribute. And when you're doing the pitching, it hardly ever works. But every time you don't, something happens. And that's what happened with CBS. A wonderful Michelle, the producer, called one day and said, I was reading about you on the internet, and this is what, and we'd be interested in coming down. And I couldn't believe it because it's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then Mo Rocca came, and Mo Rocca loved it. I got him an Uncle Mo hat.
Perfect. Yeah, very good.
And he said he's coming back for his vacation because it was the most relaxing place he'd ever been.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and so, as they say, I highly tout, go to the YouTube and type in, you know, old friends and CBS Sunday morning, and you'll come up with it. It's well worth the watch. But also, when I was on YouTube, Old Friends has a channel as well, and there's some virtual tours and whatnot. I think we can pull up a little of that, and I think there's a shot of Birdstone. Talk a little bit about, you know, as I say, people can go online and virtual tour. But if folks are down in Kentucky and have things now changed enough so you're back doing the tours and the visits down there?
Thank goodness. Yeah. We got through, you know, most of our income is generated. The fuel for Old Friends are the visitors. And so when we had to shut down, and we shut down totally for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And so now we're back up. We do tours Thursday through Sunday. Barbara Fossum, who runs those tours, is very, very, very serious about making sure that all the COVID criteria are met, have to be vaccinated. We've limited the tours to, we've cut back on how many people can take the tour, and we like it when they make reservations. And
can they do that through the website?
Yes.
Perfect.
You go directly to the website and call the office, but directly through the website is the best way to do it.
And talk about, we've kind of hit on a couple of them already, but talk about some of the horses people will be able to see and certainly remember.
Well, our three Belmont winners I mentioned, you know, I'm in love with Silver Charm. He's 27 years old now. Alphabet Soup is 30. He's the oldest living Breeders' Cup winner, I think. And he's an amazing horse, and he's got a pet donkey, and they go out every night, and it's like it's better than the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace. You know, they love each other. And, you know, Alphabet Soup's a cancer survivor. You know, he's been through a lot, and he's just really, really something. And you never know. Sometimes, you know, Chris McCarron, who's a neighbor, he'll come over, and he'll just stop by the farm, and he'll talk about the horses. So you never know. He's going to show up a couple of times. When Bob Baffert and Jill and Bodie showed up to see Silver Charm and some of the other horses we have for him, Game On Dude, he got into the tour, so you never know what's going to happen. I told Diane, I said, there's two things we're not going to die of, shoveling snow and boredom. You know, we'll die of something, but it's not going to be either of those things.
You talked about the intelligence of the horses before, and you've had enough kind of go through now. Are some of them distinctly more intelligent than others?
Absolutely. You know, you should get Chris McCarron to come over here and talk to you, because he talked about precisionists. He talked about precisionists teaching him how to be a jockey. And I said, what did he teach you? And in a nutshell, he said, he taught me to figure out what the horse wants to do and get out of his way.
Uh-huh. That's very
And I thought with and he said he knew where to be on the track. He knew when to slow down. He would handicap his opposition. When he went out to the track, he never liked to go into the post position in order. Yeah. He's always walking around and doing figure eights. And Chris finally figured out that what he was doing was figuring out where the best part of the track was to race. I mean, these horses are really, really intelligent.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, very good. And as I say, the website is oldfriendsequine.org. Also, folks can visit. Are things back to kind of normal up at Cabin Creek as well?
Yeah. In fact, we had a nice tour over there earlier this week, and had some really, really nice visitors, and all the horses look great up there. And as I say, you can see our Whitney winner, commentator, you know, Cosmonauts up there, Zippy Chippy, still going. I can't believe it. He just had his 30th birthday.
Oh, that's
crazy. He got 300 birthday cards.
Oh, that's nuts. very good. So again, we have the local outlet of Old Friends right up Greenfield Way and down in Kentucky, the original Old Friends, oldfriendsequine.org. Visit the website, learn more information. If you're headed in one direction or the other, make a visit as well and see some of our old friends. Oh, and we should also mention Barbara Livingston has done the great work. If folks
fabulous.
Want to pick up
Barbara
the book.
Livingston has been tremendous for us.
She was at the event the other day signing some of those books.
Yes.
Great job.
Great books. Of course, they're great photographs, but she's a very good writer as well. And the other thing is she, people think now because of Old Friends that she named her book Old Friends after the farm, but it's exactly the opposite. Again, another stolen idea. I called her up and asked her if I could call it Old Friends. And she said that we could. But Barbara's been tremendous. And every year the Daily Racing Form publishes a magazine for us, and she does all the photographs in there, and they're just brilliant. They really capture the inside of these animals.
Yeah, she does great work. And you do great work because, as I say, you were kind of a groundbreaker on this idea of, you know, facility to take care of some of the retired thoroughbreds, some of our old friends and horses we certainly remember. And we appreciate what you do down at Old Friends. And as I say, once I saw you over in the paddock, I said, we got to get you over here for a visit. Before you leave, however, I also want to, in appreciation of your coming over, give you a gift card to Jacob and Anthony's downtown.
Wow.
I gave one to Brett Calhoun earlier, but I had forgotten to give it on the show. I gave it
Look
as he walked
this.
Off the set. So now I have to alert that. We've given off a couple of Jake and Anthony's today. Brett Calhoun and Michael Blown.
And
enjoy dinner on us.
This means that I can go broke today and still eat dinner. That's a fabulous thing
to
love
the optimism of a horse player. Absolutely. Michael, we appreciate the visit.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Seth. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back and wrap it up on this Whitney Saturday racing across America. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back. Racing Across America on a Whitney Saturday. And as Michael Blown stepped off the set, he mentioned, and I want to mention it, the TAA Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance will have a booth today over by the Silks Room. So stop by there and you can donate and you can learn more because that is another great organization kind of focused on the careers or retirements of thoroughbreds after their racing careers are done. So TAA booth today over by the Silks Room as well. Fun show. We started a little early, so I'm going to end a little early. But again, it works out well because there's an early post time today at the track, 12:35 kickoff. That means Talking Horses with Andy and Anthony is a little early. They will kick off at about 11 o'clock. But let me quickly pull up on my computer here some of our promos and events, and I will alert you to those as well. And excuse my looking at the computer because I still haven't printed up the hard copy of these. But the Saratoga Syndicate will be today. It's every Saturday. Today's Syndicate is full, but I mention it because we're doing it every Saturday during the meet. And they open on Sundays. It's first come, first serve. So if you want to get in the Syndicate for next week, get online tomorrow, capitalotb.com, and sign up for next week's Syndicate. If you're not familiar, the idea of the Syndicate is for a $50 buy-in. You get in on a $1,500 pick ticket on a Saturday afternoon at Saratoga. So you have the potential to hit a big pick play with a modest amount of money and maybe have a little bit of fun in the process. Saratoga Syndicate every Saturday during the meet. Today, I will have a $100 pick three bankroll. I would guess maybe that is still open. Usually that, I think, is until 11 or noon for the pick three bankroll. Check out the website for more information there. If you want to stop by the clubhouse racebook today, it's the play the board contest. Go on down. Maybe you win some money at the windows, and maybe you win a little extra money via the play the board contest, courtesy of Capital OTB. Stop by the clubhouse racebook. Tomorrow, there is a show pool bankroll. Again, stop by the website to put your name in the hat and potentially get on tomorrow's show pool bankroll team. Tomorrow at the clubhouse racebook, pick four and a match bet promotion as well. So there are the promos coming up here at Capital OTB. I'm going to wrap it up, but tomorrow morning we will be back on at 9 a.m. with the handicapper support, as we are every racing day up here at Saratoga. 10 a.m. on a Sunday means Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and myself. And again, the game plan tomorrow is to have our annual visit from the Matisse brothers, Paul and Duke. Always a raucous hour with the Matisse brothers. Looking forward to that tomorrow on Loose on the Lead. And I think that kind of wraps things up. Let me thank Michael Blown for stopping in. Always fun to talk to Michael. Ken McPeak with Swiss Skydiver and King Fury this afternoon. Brett Calhoun with By My Standards. And again, over in the West Virginia Derby today, he also has Mr. Wireless. So we talked about that one as well, and a couple in stakes tomorrow at Ellis Park. So again, it was a fun and I'm being told in my ear for the Sulky Side fans with the 12:30 post at Saratoga, a reminder on that. But the Hambletonian card is also running today. That'll kick off at noontime, the Hambo card. Usually there's about 3,000 races, so you'll have, it's not that many, but on the big harness days, boy, they put in the number of races. I'm sure that'll be the case with Hambletonian, but one of the bigger races, certainly on the Sulky Side, every year, so keep that in mind if you are a harness fan. Today, it's Hambo Day, and you'll see it here on the network. So, once again, I think that takes us through everything on a fun Saturday. A fun Saturday morning leading into a fun Saturday afternoon. You've been able to see it behind me all morning. It is a really, really nice day. If you're planning to come up, you're going to enjoy it. If you haven't planned yet, make plans to come up and enjoy it, because there's a lot of great stakes action, a really fun competitive card, beautiful weather. Go downtown afterwards and grab a little dinner over at Pinnell's or Jacob and Anthony's. A couple of recommendations there, but there are also some other opportunities. It's going to be a great Saturday, one of the bigger Saturdays every year up at Saratoga. This year, no exception. Hopefully we gave you some ideas as well this morning, handicapper support in Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. And once again, we'll see you tomorrow morning, handicapper support at 9 a.m.
Promotional consideration for Saturdays at the Spa provided by Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, featuring classic American recipes from the past with a modern presentation. Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, 38 High Rock Avenue, Saratoga. Thank you.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.